Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mark, fresh back from the Startup Societies Conference.
Summit, yes.
You didn't really mention in advance that you were going to this. Not on the air that I can recall.
No, I don't think I did.
But you went to this.
Yep.
And what, I mean, let's talk briefly about what it was. What is the Startup Societies?
Well, the Startup Society Summit is a place where people can come and talk about the notion of building new places with new forms of governance. If one believes in the marketplace, and I do, I believe the marketplace provides us with the best services and that innovation comes from competition, that monopolies tend not to innovate. And this is one of the reasons that I am terrified by the notion of government, especially specifically the United States government, intervention in the marketplace as far as medicine goes, because you're just innovation's gonna trickle to nothing.
Sure.
But when it comes to governance, we haven't had a lot of leap forwards in the idea of government, right? So
That's a bad old idea. The state is a terrible, decrepit, destructive old idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's this monopoly that claims a use of force over a given landmass, starts with city, states, and that kind of thing. Some group of people takes over. If it's a king, there's still nobles, right? There's always a group. So Monaco is the purchasing of a lodial title. There's special economic zones, if you heard this term before.
Yeah.
So China's full of them. They're all around the world. French Polynesia has three currently. I don't know how many there are, but there are dozens of special economic zones around the world. This is a innovation in the area of governance. So governments are like, well, yes, we want to, you know, get people to come here, so we'll allow you to try your own legal system and handle, building your own city and that sort of thing. We'll let you do that in that special economic zone. No problem. At this point, not one special economic zone has had what you were talking about occur to it. Now, these aren't necessarily.
Wait, you mean a take back?
Yeah, take back. These aren't necessarily free libertarian places by any stretch, but they're effectively private cities, so you could call them libertarian in the sense that they're voluntary, right?
Okay.
To some extent, some level of voluntary. So the country itself, the mother country, will keep some kind of control. Like they'll say, we're giving you military protection, and passports have to come through us. So visas and all the that kind of thing. They'll withhold that sort of thing from the special economic zone. It's pretty clear that some governments are bad at what they do, or at least not getting the results that they hope for.
Yeah.
And some of those governments are trying special economic zones to let other people come in. Attempt to
now, Larry,
make life better.
Yeah. Now, Larry had a concern here, and maybe I misunderstood what you were saying, Larry, but it sounded like your concern was that these special economic zones will mean that slavery is going to be happening there because there's no government to protect people. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that what you were saying?
Let me break it down to you in something that's currently going on.
Okay.
Now, Hong Yun Moon, or whoever he is, the guy in Korea, right?
The president of South Korea?
North Korea.
North Korea? That's Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un or whoever he is. He's a stupid-looking person, right?
All right.
Now, what Trump has told him is that, look, Onion, you go on shooting these dummy rockets up when you got all these starving people over here. Let us come in and develop your economic system here, and you'll do a lot better off. So what he's doing is he's going to stop his dummy rockets because he knows that he got a bunch of starving people that he can exploit and allow large factories to come in, just like they've done in South Vietnam.
You can't tell me that an organization that claims a portion of the fruits of your labor, when they don't even provide you with anything, like there's no roads, you can't say, but what about the firemen? Because you're not getting fire
services.
You're
talking about people living outside of the U.S.
Right, these are people living outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. And the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, through the power of the State Department and the United States government, has claimed the fruits of these people's labor. And you can't tell me that's not a form of servitude. Certainly, it beats the pants off of chattel slavery.
Well, the chattel slaves were provided with a service of a roof over their head in a lot of cases.
Well, they couldn't leave.
Some food.
But you can't
leave the U.S. either unless you got permission.
Not unless you pay an exit tax.
Yeah.
But then again, any slave could have bought their freedom just about any time in history.
Mm.
So Larry is correct in being concerned. However, when I went to the Startup Society's conference, none of these people's pitches during their speech were, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find a bunch of poor people and exploit their labor.
Yeah, but they're not going to admit that, right? Well, if that's what they want to do.
I don't know if that's what they would want to do or not, but I can tell you that it didn't sound like it was hidden in there at all. Mm-hmm. All they said is we're going to create a special economic zone, and people would be more free. What we can see in places like Hong Kong, Singapore, Monaco, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, you know, places like that, smaller areas that you'll see, you know, more personal freedom, more wealth, more prosperity, and a higher standard of living.
You brushed aside the question of slavery, saying that, you know, in a free place, we're not going to see enslavement. That's just, you know, not going to happen. The people you've talked to, they're not interested in that. And plus, we could further say that would make this place the scum of the world, basically. I mean, everybody looks down on slavery these days. So why would any company want to trade or do business with anybody that they know is involved in a slave trade? So it just seems like it's a non-starter from, you know, the word go, even if somebody wanted to try that. But child labor is a different story, right? I mean, is there anything inherently wrong with the idea of children working?
Well, first I would say that these are special economic zones and people would have to come to them to choose to work. It's unlikely that somebody can get their S together at the age of 10.
Strike out from home and walk to the special economic zone?
Walk, rowboat. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to get there to the special economic zone and then enslave themselves in a sweatshop with other 10-year-olds. I'm not sure how that would work. I have a 10-year-old. He could not put this together.
Okay.
Like, I assure you, he would get kidnapped before he ever got to where it was that he was going, and he would then be enslaved in a government-dictated zone, okay? Mm-hmm. So the problem of child labor exists inside and outside, or at the very least outside, we don't know about inside, special economic zones. So I started working at the age of 12.
I think you put your finger on it when you said the government schools aren't teaching the right thing. But we also have to add the Christian schools. They're not teaching the right thing.
As What's the right thing?
Well, from a Christian biblical standpoint, they're supposed to be teaching their congregations and their students in their Christian schools to prepare for a world-ruling king of Israel, a world-ruling king of the Jews, a world-ruling king of kings. But instead, the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty University, goes out and has its president lie to the general population of America in endorsing Donald Trump, saying that Jesus instructed us to vote for Caesar. That's an absolute historical lie.
Michael, a quick Google search does reveal a Huffington Post story from, looks like, 2016, where they found a very short clip of Donald Trump in a Playboy Playmate video, Playboy's Video Centerfold 2000, which was what they describe as a softcore video documentary made in 1999. It features lots of shots of naked women dancing and posing, as well as touching themselves and each other. Don't worry, Trump doesn't do any of those things.
Thank goodness.
He does appear in a brief cameo in which he opens a champagne bottle with the help of some playmates and then pours it on the Playboy Bunny logo. Trump says, quote, "Beauty is beauty, and let's see what happens with New York," unquote. So, Michael, is that what you're referring to when you described him as being in pornography?
Well, I'm referring to a whole mountain of evidence, the most prominent of it being his relationship with porn star Stormy Daniels.
Well, that's not the same thing. I mean, it's important to be honest when you're talking about something. Even if it's somebody you don't like, you know, you probably shouldn't make stuff up. You know, there's no evidence that he was actually in pornography. And I'm sorry, a Playboy video appearance is
not
being...
You mentioned earlier, talking about economic zones. Has anyone tried that with success here in the United States?
In the United States.
Well, no, the United States is highly unlikely. So they have enterprise zones. Different cities will try areas where tax with a lower real estate tax or, you know, suspended for a period of time or that sort of thing. They'll often, you know, try to woo major businesses to come to town. So there's some aspect of it, but it's unlikely the United States, which is a highly prosperous, it's the number one economy in the world, is going to try to create special economic zones to have a better economy because they feel like they're already winning. I will point out that California moved up from economy number seven, the equivalent of economy number seven, to number five now.
Wow.
So very successful area. Go right ahead.
Yeah. You know something? I almost find that hard to believe. I'm not saying it isn't true, but the way it looks to me like California is doing everything they can to chase businesses out of the state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, California is not a friendly place when it comes to people who are looking for freedom, especially business freedoms. But the fact remains,
it's the internet companies. It's the dot-com.
There's a
folks.
Lot of money out there still. Yeah. They haven't all left.
It's Silicon Valley.
The loudspeakers that were pointed in either direction, both south and north, so speakers in the north pointed to the south, speakers in the south pointed to the north, they've been shut down.
And they were playing all sorts of propaganda.
Right.
And then
K-pop in the case of South Korea.
K-pop is an act of war.
I happen to like some K-pop. But anyway, it...
Did you like NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys too?
No, I wasn't. Okay. I don't like the boy K-pop that much. But anyway...
Oh, I know what you like.
Yeah. So anyway, they've shut down the propaganda, the speakers from both sides on what I would consider to be a, you know, positive development. Of course, Kim Jong-un, the so-called supreme leader in North Korea, met with the president of South Korea, and they crossed the border together, which made Kim Jong-un the first person to knowingly cross the North Korean border and not get arrested for it. So, you know, that's good. The symbolism has been very, very good so far. There have been multiple indicators that this is something that they're taking seriously, that maybe this time around Kim Jong-un is actually seriously going to look at nuclear disarmament, because previously North Korea has talked a game about disarming, but they've never actually followed through on their promises.
I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on two topics. First, about Iran and Israel. I think it was like a few days ago that they started shooting missiles at each other. So I just want to see what you guys think about that. And also, what are your thoughts on North Korea? You know, like, obviously they let go of those prisoners. They're trying to make peace with the South. And, like, all these things are happening, like, back-to-back. So do you think it's kind of suspicious? Like, are they up to something?
Who's
you know,
they?
Like, what exactly are they
the
trying
North
to
Koreans.
Do? North Korea.
Okay. I am not suspicious. I think that I think that China wants a better negotiating stance with Donald Trump. That's why Kim Jong-un was called to China to you know, bring him into line on this issue. And that's why we see what we see going on. Kim Jong-un has made advances his entire short career in, you know, allowing the marketplace and that sort of thing in North Korea. It's not like, you know, they're huge advances, but they're certainly more than his father or his grandfather did. So,
yep, that's true.
I'm not suspicious about this. That doesn't make me right. It just makes me not suspicious.
Right.
Iran and Israel, these two have been at it for a very long time. Israel feels emboldened and Iran feels beset.
I think that if, you know, we didn't have the U.S. government going around and meddling in other countries' businesses, there probably would be less conflict in the world. I mean, you could argue that World War I would not have gone on for as long were it not for the United States getting involved. You could argue that World War II would never have happened if the United States hadn't gotten involved in World War I. You know,
I don't know that World War
I. How would the Korean War have played out if the U.S. hadn't been involved in that?
I would say that U.S.'s involvement in World War I created a cascade of effects that you know, caused lots and lots of problems, including their intervention in Russia, probably leading to the Soviet Union.
That's because violence has unintended consequences when you use the aggressive force against people and places.
It's true, but I mean, like, I think that they got in for the very best reasons, but that good reasons, you know, good intentions.
The road
and
to
all,
hell's paved
yeah,
with good intentions.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and beyond that, the American people didn't want the United States to get involved, right? Didn't they elect Woodrow Wilson on campaign promises to stay out of World War One?
Sure. There were certainly plenty of American people that did want the U.S. involved in World War One, but probably
he was elected on that message, if I'm not mistaken, right? So that suggests that the anti-war sentiment was fairly, you know, common.
The thing is that it's interesting to sit from the United States in the seat of prosperity and look at the strange jumble of weirdness that is North Korea, but at the same time, their propaganda TV has some interesting critiques of the United States and its problems. And I'm sure that plenty of people around the world look at what's going on in the U.S. and say, it's fascinating to watch these people put up with this weirdo.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm not trying to act as though there aren't problems in the United States prison system. There definitely are, and we've pointed out many of the corrupt cop stories. We were talking about the Innocence Project, I think it was earlier this week, which, of course, is an organization that our co-host Daryl Perry is raising money for. To help them get more people vindicated and exonerated from false charges that they've been convicted of and have been sent to prison for. So that happens here, and you know it happens in North Korea. It's just that probably a lot of the prison conditions in the United States are, even though they're imprisoning more people and enslaving them, they're probably a little bit better. You know, like you're probably eating better than 30 kernels of corn every day or something like that in an American prison.
Indeed.
That's all I'm saying.
But, well, I just went through the Eastern State Penitentiary yesterday, and this is the Quaker model of prisons that was developed in the early 1800s. It was opened in 1829.
Where is this?
This is in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And,
Quaker prison. In Seoul, South Korea, for years, Kim Jong-un, North Korea's leader, has been cracking down on USB flash drives that activists smuggle into his isolated country to poison his people's minds with outside influences like South Korean K-pop music. Remember reading an interview with a young lady who had escaped from North Korea, which is, by the way, a very risky thing to do, because if you escape, then you still have family in North Korea, and in a lot of cases they'll go ahead and put them in a prison camp. So there's a real deterrent to people escaping sort of on their lonesome. But she managed to get out, and she cited these flash drives as her eye-opener, because people have been smuggling these drives into to North Korea with television shows, movies from South Korea and Hollywood on them, music, of course. And she was surprised to see women in these shows wearing things that were she couldn't have even like fathomed, right? Like she'd never seen blue jeans.
Yeah, non-traditional dress. Yeah.
Right? Blue jeans, forbidden for people to wear that in North Korea. You can only have hairstyles that are approved by the North Korean government. So, I mean, the idea that you could express yourself in these ways was a real eye-opener for her. Didn't have anything to do with the ideas of democracy or anything like that. It was just, my God, people can do this?
People like the trappings of freedom more than they like, you know, freedom. I think that some orderly progression's always great, but the problem with these orderly progressions is everybody who's administering this orderly progression still wants to keep their power in the process.
Yeah, that's a tricky balance.
It's a very tricky balance. Yes, yes, it is.
It is a premise that will be tested when President Trump meets with Mr. Kim in a few weeks, when Mr. Moon met with Kim on the inter-Korean border on April 27th to help set up the North Korea-United States summit meeting. He handed over the USB drive to illustrate what benefits await Mr. Kim should he nuclearize. Quote, Kim Jong-un's desire to develop his country's economy is as strong as and ever stronger than his desire for nuclear weapons, said Lee Jong-suk, a former unification minister of South Korea. He continued saying, quote, but he knows he cannot achieve the kind of rapid economic growth in China that he envisions for his country while keeping his nuclear weapons because of the sanctions, unquote. Skeptics doubt Mr. Kim's xenophobic regime will ever surrender.
You can't eat a nuclear missile, right?
And yeah.
They're not particularly useful in that respect, but I can see why some tin-pot dictator someplace is going to want one, if only to keep themselves from being invaded by a coalition of independent democratic states.
Absolutely. But since the inter-Korean summit meeting, many South Koreans have started to believe that Mr. Kim is a trustworthy reformer. Kim Jong-un, he admitted in a speech that, quote, my desires were burning all the time, but I spent the past year feeling anxious and remorseful for the lack of my ability. as they point out here, a startling admission, because he was not able to, you know, be the magic supreme leader who can lead all of his people to prosperity by telling everybody what to do. It's never worked. Central control has never worked. Communism should have proven that enough times, but people still haven't learned the lesson where a central committee of bureaucrats cannot decide how an economy is supposed to work. It just doesn't work from the top down.
No, it doesn't.
And for him to actually admit that publicly is an unusual step for somebody in his position, which up until him has basically been vaunted as gods.
They've all made it. All these, communist regimes have all had to admit that it just doesn't work.
Well, I mean, whether they've admitted that during their tenure is another question, right? Maybe, you know.
I mean, Gorbachev had to do it.
Did he?
Well, I mean, not verbatim or anything like that, but he, you know. Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union an evil empire, and Gorbachev is still at the table with him. It says something.
Nowhere is Kim's dilemma better seen than in his policy of Byung-jin, or parallel advance, which seeks a nuclear arsenal and economic development simultaneously. Under that policy, Mr. Kim has rapidly developed his country's nuclear weapons and ballistic missile programs, arguing that a nuclear deterrent would make his country feel secure enough to focus on rebuilding the economy.
I think from a cultural standpoint, and I say this with firsthand knowledge of being in China at least, probably, I'd say, over 10 times and assisted in smuggling people out of North Korea.
Really?
We don't have a concept. We when I hear terms like, oh, it's a communist regime and it's this, it is not that. He has presented himself and has made, and his father did as well, he is a deity.
Kim Jong-un?
That is how he is presented to his people.
Yeah, but people are starting to see through that with him, right? Because he's not.
Yes. Well, yeah. You know, that's what I mean by culturally. When you started out as a 4-year-old child and you were taught that this person was a deity, it just doesn't fall away because you've got access to the internet.
Sure.
They don't have access to the internet.
It just doesn't work that way. And honestly, from my point of view, I'm wondering how he's even going to be able to. You know, to pull it off. I know the Chinese have supported him and propped him up for decades. I got involved with it through an individual that went there. I don't really want to say the organization, but it's an organization of people that that have the common welfare of the North Koreans. And that's their main objective, is to try to do whatever they can to help them.
Were you living in China at the time when you were you got into this, or did you get into this in the U.S.?
The only way that you can even get into China is with a visa. Mm-hmm. And if you're even granted a 1-year visa, that's pretty miraculous. And I know some people that have gotten 2-year visas and stuff, but usually you're only going to get it for a year, and you're going to have to come back out usually for 6 to 8 months, and then you can reapply. And you always have to apply as a business, because that's the interest of the Chinese,
yeah,
to have businesses come there. So that part of it's kind of complicated. But when I was talking to you earlier about from a cultural standpoint, you know, the Koreans don't see themselves as North Koreans and South Koreans. They see themselves as Koreans.
The Korean right. people.
Sure.
And the South Koreans love the North Koreans, believe it or not. They don't care for the government, but that's to them, that's their brothers and sisters.
Many of them literally are their brothers and sisters. Chung Sung Chang, senior analyst at the Sejong Institute in Seoul in South Korea, this is a story from the New York Times, says Kim Jong-un's at a crossroads. He could advance his nuclear weapons program further and face a deeper isolation and possible economic ruin. Or he could use it as a bargaining card to win normalized ties and a peace treaty with the United States and economic recovery, unquote. If Mr. Kim pursues the route of economic reform, energy and transportation are the two areas where he most needs outside help. In his meeting with Mr. Moon, who's the South Korean president, Mr. Kim admitted to the, quote, embarrassing, unquote, condition of their roads and railways in the North. Trains running on electricity remain North Korea's main means of transport, carrying 90% of their cargo and 60% of their passenger traffic, according to Lee Byung-min, senior analyst at the South Korean government's Korea Transport Institute. But its rail systems are so decrepit that its fastest train, which runs to the Chinese border from Pyongyang, travels at 28 miles an hour.
Other trains, just on an Amtrak train that was up at about 120 recently.
Other trains run at less than half of that speed.
Yeah, that's pretty slow.
So yeah, 28 miles an hour is their fast train.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.